If you'd open your Bibles this morning to the book of Nehemiah as we continue our study on spiritual renewal. I guess that kind of fits in with the song we just sang on having our fire, our soul set on fire. Nehemiah chapter 4, we last week discovered that renewal often brings opposition from the adversary. When you decide to do something for the Lord, the devil isn't going to just sit back and say, well, go ahead, have at it. He will try to bring opposition. We saw that it came through ridicule. And not only did ridicule come, but we have seen that it intensifies. And a lot of times when a person decides, I'm going to get right with God and start living, we sing the song, Higher Ground, right? Stepping on an upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. That's what we sing about. When we really decide to take that song and act it out daily, the devil will try to oppose you. And the more that we decide to do, the more intense it will come. We saw early in this book that ridicule came. There was opposition that came by way of Sanballat. And then Tobiah comes onto the scene. And then there was, by the time we finished last week, there was four people groups. It wasn't just two or three people. It was people groups. The Samaritans, there was the Ammonites. They were surrounded, the Israelites, Jerusalem, and all these walls were surrounded north, south, east, and west. And it was getting more and more intense. And we saw clearly that this would happen. And this is exactly what will happen when you and I purpose in our hearts that we're going to do something by the grace of God for the glory of God. Things are going to intensify on your life to see and to test how sincere we really are. Because if Satan can come in and bring something into our lives that will cause us, I'm just going to back away. He's won the victory at that point in time. And by the way, I know personally Christians who have decided to get on fire for God. And when the attacks came, they backed away and went farther back than they were when they first originally started and have never recovered themselves, which is interesting because the Bible warns about lest we can't recover ourselves from the snares of the devil. And so we're going to look at a couple of things. And by the way, we saw their response. What was Nehemiah's response? It's been the same all four chapters. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed. Prayer is a very, very powerful weapon. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we left off with verse number 9. The adversaries are conspiring, things are getting intense, and we left off in verse 9 last week with, nevertheless, in spite of what was going on, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So we finished last week with Nehemiah and the people praying. So it started out with Nehemiah praying, and I want to remind us, as the adversaries increase, so should our prayer team. It says here in verse number 9, we, plural now, made our, plural, prayer. So there comes a time when you and I can pray individually. But I tell you, when things increase, when the devil is after us, we need to get others to join in and be a part of what's going to take place here. So in spite of the opposition, the Israelites are rebuilding the wall. The wall, according to verse number 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. So they're at the halfway point, if you would, in verse number 6. The wall is at the halfway. They have progressed pretty well in spite of the opposition. And again, we see that the opposition will always intensify more and more and more. And the Israelites, we need to remember that they are people just like you and me. Things have changed because of our technology and advances and different things, but people are pretty much the same. And the Israelites, because of the work, because of the intense opposition, and even as they are praying and watching, they still get discouraged. Anybody here ever get discouraged? Just say amen. I want you to understand that if you haven't got discouraged, you might not You might just reach over here and go like this, because you're probably dead. We all get discouraged. And sometimes it can be because we're doing something for God. And sometimes I personally think that sometimes the devil can just put a spirit of discouragement sometimes on you. You can just wake up and you're in a discouraged mood. I don't know if you had a dream or what, but we all get discouraged. And the Israelites had become discouraged. And I want to again state that it happens to all of us. Things happen in life, and they can knock the wind right out of our sail, and we can get discouraged. And maybe there's somebody that this week you were discouraged. Maybe there's someone today. Believe it or not, there could be someone right here today that's discouraged. Well, then this is the perfect timing for the message. Because you can, even if you're not discouraged, if you're deciding, I'm going to live for God this next week, I'll guarantee you that the devil will try to get away to discourage you next week then. So this is a perfect message for where we are, whether we're in the midst of discouragement, or we just come out of it, or we're getting ready to go into it. Because it's always there. And in chapter 4 here, we're going to finish out chapter 4, and we're going to discover something that's very interesting that Nehemiah shows us here. You see, sometimes we read through these books like they're just historical books. And yet God places things in here to help you and I today that helped them back then. And in this chapter, we're going to discover the sources of discouragement. What are the main sources that bring discouragement on? Now, there may be a variety of things, sub-things that come in, but there's three main sources that the devil will use to discourage you and to discourage me. And so we're going to be able to see that Nehemiah shows us the three main sources of discouragement. And I'm glad that in chapter 4, he doesn't just tell us what the sources are. He actually will show us what the solution is. Because we need to know, when it comes, what is the solution that God gives for us to be victorious over this area of discouragement. So let's go ahead and ask the blessing, and then we'll begin reading in chapter 4 and verse number 10. Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs, you know our makeup, that we're but dust. And yet you, by your grace, have breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and created us to be living souls. And yet we also know that you have given us your Spirit, dear Father. When we called upon you and we were born again, and Father, we ask that your Spirit would be active today, helping us to have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, to the saints that are here. And Lord, perhaps there are some even this morning that are discouraged. There's a situation, an issue in their life, and they're kind of cast down. There's that cloud, as we talk about, over them. Or maybe we will be having a situation arise that we don't know what's on tomorrow, Lord, that will bring discouragement. May we see an incredible lesson today that will be very, very practical and very, very helpful for us today as well as the days that are ahead. And we'll be sure to thank you even now, not only for showing us the sources, but giving us your heavenly prescription for the solution. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The first thing we want to consider here is the sources of discouragement. Read with me in chapter 4, verse 10 through verse 12. We'll just break it down a little bit at a time instead of reading the whole chapter. Verse 10, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Remember, previously they're just trying to hinder the work. Now they want the work to stop, to halt. Verse 12, "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Now, when we get into this beginning part of the sources of discouragement, when Nehemiah and his people began this project, this venture that God had laid on his heart, that God had placed his hand upon him, that God had given him the vision and the favor to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, around God's holy city. They had been in ruins for 130 years. And this was when they began, and Nehemiah gives the vision and gives how he found favor with the king, the people, the Jews, are ecstatic. They are enthusiastic. They are excited that God is going to use them to be a part of something great that brings back the glory. The glory had been lost through their poor testimony. Usually there is always excitement and enthusiasm when you begin something fresh and new. Whether it be a church or a nation or a family or an individual, usually there is always enthusiasm at the very beginning of a new project. But what often happens, after working a few weeks, the Israelites were growing weary. They were getting discouraged. And in verse 10 through 12, we find three common sources of discouragement. Right there in the very first few verses that we just read, God shows us three common sources of discouragement that were being used to bring about a discouragement and a depression to the Israelites in the midst of the work. Number one was a lack of relaxation. A lack of relaxation or a lack of rest. The Bible tells us in verse number 10, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. The strength here of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. Their strength of the laborers, it was giving out on them. They had been working and working and working. This phrase, decayed, pictures that these workers were becoming so exhausted that they were literally ready to fall into their tracks. They were working and working and working, and there has been opposition, 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 but no rest. No rest. Many Christians who think that they have lost their spiritual edge and begin to drift, if you would, from the Lord, are just overworked, really. Their strength is giving out. And sometimes what a Christian needs is a little R&R, some rest and some relaxation. The first source of discouragement is a lack of relaxation. Sometimes what we need most to become spiritually renewed, and I want you to listen to me clearly on this so you don't misunderstand me. Sometimes what we need most to become spiritually renewed is not another sermon, though we need sermons. It's not another Bible study, though we want to be in the Bible. Sometimes what we need to be refreshed is simply some time off. They used to give people in the days years ago what they called sabbaticals. A time of getting away and taking a block of time, not a short time, but a block of time, and just get away for a while by yourself. One common reason for discouragement is a lack of relaxation that is coming from the work that we're doing that is exhaustive. You and I can become weary in the work, but we should never become weary of the work. And a lot of times people are not as effective as they would be if they would take time and take a break and relax for a little bit. I know preachers that go, go, go and have health issues constantly. Brethren, we all need to follow. I would say that discouragement, actually, we need to go and say, Father, you tell us in your word, you reveal to us that you're the great physician. Is he not the great physician? If he is a great physician, as a wise doctor, what kind of prescription would he give us? He would give you the same prescription that he would give me that he gave to his disciples. What prescription did the great physician give to the disciples? In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, the Bible says this, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." I'll tell you what, there are some Christians that think that if you take a break and rest, that that's a sin. And yet, if that's true, then Christ just caused the disciples to sin. He is the great physician. He knows our makeup. He knows how we are made and what our body needs. And here he tells the disciples, come yourselves apart unto a desert place. I heard one preacher say, we need to come apart before we come apart. And folks, some of the greatest areas when we think of discouragement, a lot of times we don't associate it to the right source. And sometimes it is simply a lack of relaxation. The word desert place here that Jesus is trying to get the disciples to go to is simply a place that it's a solitary place. It is uninhabited. It's a place where you can get alone with just the Lord Himself. And this is what He's encouraging us, the disciples, to do. Why? Because they needed some rest. He says that you may rest a while, that you can cease from movement and activities, quit going, going, going. I'll tell you what, sometimes God, if we don't stop going ourselves, we'll put us on our backside to slow us down. And that doesn't do us any good because usually we're out longer than if we'd have taken a short breather and a short break. So the word rest means to cease from movement, quit going, so that the purpose of refreshing one's self. Because he says they had no leisure. That's interesting. Whoever would have thought the Bible would have talked about having leisure? And yet that's what Jesus' words. And they had no leisure so much as to even eat. They did not. The word leisure here means they had to have opportunity to have. This is important. This is, if you look it up in the Strong, it means to have opportunity to have a good time. Wow. God wants me and you to have a good time? Absolutely. Now that doesn't mean we live in leisure. We just need to get away sometimes to have a good time away from the work so that we can come back refreshed. And that, my friends, is the prescription coming from God Almighty Himself for His disciples. We all need to follow the regular advice of the great physician. So the first source of discouragement, I believe, is a lack of relaxation. In verse 10, it made it very, very clear that the bearers of burdens is decayed. They were becoming weary and tired. The second source of discouragement is also found in verse 10. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And look what he says, and there is much rubbish. There is much rubbish. The second thing we see is total frustration. Lack of relaxation, total frustration. There is so much rubbish that we are frustrated in the process of building. It was in the way. Do you all use your garages to park your cars or to store your stuff? Or is it a combo? And if tomorrow was the day, now some of you are probably very orderly and you have everything just set right and you have your carpet laid. You've even got your garage carpeted with paneling on the walls and it's probably a real nice place. Mine's not like that. I can still get two cars in there, but all the way around those cars is stuff. And if I was to go in there and say, I think I'm going to clean out the garage, I would open up the garage door and I'd look at it and I'd think, huh. I would say, okay, I don't want to get discouraged, so I'm going to go take some rest and relaxation. You know? He says that the people were beginning to look at the rubbish and it was beginning to frustrate them. Anybody here ever feel frustrated? The broken stones, the rubbish, everything was there. You were tripping over it. It was in the way. Sometimes when you're doing a project, I've got to move this stuff out of the way so that I can do this. And then when I'm done with this, all of a sudden I realize I've got to do this over here, so I've got to move this stuff again to get it out of the way. And things can become very frustrating and cause discouragement. However, I want you to notice something here. It says that there was much rubbish that we cannot rebuild the wall. They've already reached the halfway point. That's what we saw last week. Verse 6. The wall is halfway built. They're progressing. Things are advancing. They are getting discouraged. They're getting defeated. They're getting frustrated. And I want to tell you that the most discouraging time in any endeavor for the Lord is the halfway point. You will get discouraged when you're about halfway through. That's when it's going to begin to set in. In the beginning, there was a lot of excitement. Oh, we're getting ready to do this. And yeah, there's rubbish everywhere, but we can work around it. And there's the excitement about rebuilding and glorifying God and getting these walls up. And everybody took their place and they're working side by side. And they're visiting, they're talking, they're encouraging. But the wall's halfway done and the rubbish is beginning to bug them. It's beginning to frustrate them. And at this halfway point where they were excited and things were exciting because God's hand was working and it was clear, it's all beginning to add up. And after the excitement wears off, the obstacles, which have always been there, seem to be getting to be greater. You see, there was actually probably no more rubbish at the halfway point than there was when they first started. But when you begin to get discouraged, you begin to look at the obstacles. There was no more debris in verse 10 than there was when they began. But when a person begins to get discouraged and they get overworked, they begin to get frustrated. And they look at the obstacles now, and the obstacles are no longer opportunities. The problems they look at were once potential. And their perspective begins to change. Instead of seeing the potential, they see a problem. Instead of seeing the opportunity, they see an obstacle. And nothing has changed. They have advanced in the work, but they're at that halfway point. And there is beginning to become total frustration because there's been a lack of relaxation. Instead of looking at the hindrances, instead of me and instead of you looking at the things that are in the way, the things that seem to be overwhelming us, the problems, if you would, the obstacles that appear to be in our life right now that's causing frustration and kind of discouraging us, the thing that we need to do, instead of looking at all of these hindrances, we need to look at what Psalm 105 and verse 4 tells us to do. What Israel needed to do is what we need to do. In Psalm 104 and verse 5 says, "Seek the Lord." Listen to what it says. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." The bearers of the burden is wore out. There's a bunch of rubbish, which means a much more work. Frustration is kicking in. And instead of looking at all of this stuff, because that's what happens, as we start looking at all the problems and all the hindrances, we need to seek God. We need to seek the Lord. The Bible says it very, very clearly. Seek the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. It says, seek the Lord, and guess what? And His strength. Evidently, if God tells you and I to seek the Lord in His strength, that means, number one, He is available to us. Number two, it means what He has is available to us. The Lord here we're being encouraged to seek Him, to inquire after Him, to pursue Him the same way they've been doing it. Go back to praying. Seek the Lord, and while you're there in His presence, seek His strength. I just can't go on anymore, man. You ever been there? I just can't go on. It might be health issues. It might be a variety of other hindrances that are in my life. I'm tired and I'm discouraged and I don't care. God says, seek me. Pursue after me. Get your eyes off of these things. Focus them back on me. Looking unto Jesus. Seek me, and while you're here, don't leave without seeking my strength, my energy, my power, my might. So that when you have turned and left me, you're taking my strength with you, and now you're walking away saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He will give you the strength that you need. Then he goes on, he says, seek the Lord and His strength. Then it says, seek, pursue, and inquire after His face evermore. There's no expiration date on the evermore, amen? You can go to your refrigerator and pull out your gallon of milk. And I just bought that thing yesterday. You look at it, but it still has an expiration date. There's a day when you don't want to pursue it. There's been times when we have people over. I think family times, we'll have family times over. And we like coffee and hot tea. And one time we were there, and our oldest son, Ian, was there. He's making some coffee. And you got your coffee ready. It's nice and hot, and you're ready to, you know, enjoy a good cup of coffee. And he puts creamer, which I question whether a person is saved that adds anything to coffee, all right? But that's just personally. That's my theology. Anyway, but he takes his creamer and he goes in. It was a brand new thing of creamer. And as he opens it up and gives it come out in chunks. And then I realized it's called, you know, chewable creamer, you know? Sometimes things expire before the expiration date, and yet he says, you can seek me evermore. There is never a time when, oh, sorry, you missed the deadline. We're getting ready to go over to Oasis for a good time of fellowship and some singing and a good lunch. If you want one of those box of sandwiches for lunch, next Sunday is the expiration date. If you come to him on Monday, they'll already have handed in the money. You got to go get your own lunch somewhere. God is saying, I want you in these times to seek me. And then he says, to seek my strength. And while you're here, seek my face. I want you to enjoy my presence, that I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Folks, God loves us so much that He wants to encourage us in doing His work. And sometimes He says, I want you to just take a break. Let's get away. Have a quiet time. Get some rest, some R&R. Refresh yourself and then rise up and you'll come back in with a new perspective. Because you have sought me as well. So there is two sources that we've seen of discouragement. A lack of relaxation, total frustration. And then look at verse 11 and 12. And our adversaries, oh, they're still around, aren't they? Your adversaries, by the way, until we leave this world, are always here. All right? That's why we have to seek His face evermore. Spend time with Jesus and you'll quit worrying about the adversaries. They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and they slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, I think they were a little concerned here, for all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. There is thirdly, continual intimidation. You see, the devil will always oppose you. Some of the Jews in this story were living right there among close proximity, if you would, of their adversaries. When you go on to school tomorrow, tomorrow's not spring break, is it yet? Is it? Yes. And I get excited for you guys, and I'm not even in school. When I was in California growing up, I took spring break all through the wintertime and through the springtime. So they made me take summer school. All right? Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. California had different rules for spring break. For me, anyway, they did. Anyway, so some of the Jews were living close to the opposition, and when school kicks back in, you guys, as Christians, we were just talking about in our class here about our behavior. It says that David behaved himself wisely because, and it was based upon his personal private time with God that made him to have a wise behavior publicly. And when you go back to school the week after or whatever it is, you're going to go back in where there's going to be adversaries. When you go into the workplace, there's adversaries. There's all of those areas where the opposition is there in its various places and various forms. But when we are doing something for the Lord and we feel intimidated, if we feel pressured, we need to remember there's another truth we can find, and it's in the Psalms. And in Psalm 34 and verse number 4, I want you to listen to what it says. When you're feeling intimidated or you're feeling pressure coming from an opposition because of your faith in Christ, Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Did you know that everybody here this morning has fears? All of us have some type of a phobia. We all have areas that bring apprehension. How many of you would like to jump off a huge cliff or bridge with a rubber band tied to you? They call it bungee. But how many of you like to, I think I'll do that. There's people that aren't afraid to do that. I'm not dumb. I always see the worst case scenario in my thing. You know, surely there's a crack in my rubber band. It might not be in theirs, but there's a good chance. You know, that's not me, you know. But we all have fears. But I want you to notice what, when we are feeling pressure or we're feeling intimidated, understand what Psalmist says. He says, I sought the Lord and He heard me, and then He brings deliverance after we bring our needs to Him. Now, remember the other verse I just told you in Psalm 105, verse 4? What did it say? It says, seek the Lord. David is telling us in Psalm 105, seek the Lord. And in Psalm 34, he said, I sought the Lord. One is, you need to do it. And one says, I have done it. And He brought deliverance. We're going to see that Israel will be delivered. You and I will be delivered when we bring our burdens to Him and we seek the Lord and we seek His face continually, evermore. Now understand that discouragement is one of the most effective weapons of Satan's arsenal. He walks about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to consume you. And he can get in, if he can get into this thing right up here, it'll trickle down right into here. Some of you will stay up late at night trying to, because he's playing with your brain, it won't shut down. That's why it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That after we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, we're to be renewed in our minds. He wants to get into your thought life. He will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So discouragement is one of the most effective weapons in Satan's arsenal, and he will use it to discourage us from a lack of relaxation, from total frustration, and a continual intimidation. Now I have 5 minutes left, and you're waiting for the solution. Too bad, I'm not doing it anymore. Now that could be discouraging. The solution is simple. Rebuilding the wall here, we need to understand, was not an afternoon picnic. It was hard work, there's no question about it. And Satan, we know, as we have read so far, has attacked on every front, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I want to share with you what one preacher said about discouragement. He says this, and I quote, "Discouragement is like having a flat tire." Now picture yourself in a car and you have a flat tire. "Discouragement is like having a flat tire. You can pray all you want and you can drive all you want, but the tire won't hold air until you find the source of the leak and fix it." Now that's a pretty simple thought. Now let's bring that over to discouragement. You can pray all you want. You can keep going on and doing the work all you want, but you still haven't fixed what's causing the discouragement. The first thing that we have to do is resist. Resist. Look at verse 13. "Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." It has to be noted here in this verse that the people were placed in positions with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Did you all caught that right in verse 13? They did not leave the wall and take the offensive. They stayed there on the defensive. They simply resisted. The Bible says, resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil. We don't go out swinging our swords to fight him. We stand our ground, having done all to stand. We must resist him. We don't take the offensive and go fight the enemy. The battle with the devil is always won by being on the defensive and letting God take care of the offensive. There was a time when the king of Israel was concerned that they were going to be attacked, that the armies, three or four different great military armies, came together to come and attack Israel. And the king found out about it, and he goes and he talks to God and he lays it before God. He calls the people to pray, the people pray, and by faith, they believed that God was going to grant them the victory through the prophet's declaration. So the king takes all the singers and he puts them out in front of their army, Israelite army. How would you like to be in the choir that day, huh? You're in the choir. The choir is in the front line as we're coming to these enemies that are three or four times our size. And they're singing and they're praising God and thanking Him for who He is and what He does. They were on the defensive. They were just trusting God. They committed it to God. And the Bible says that the Lord will fight for you. You know what the Lord did in that battle? Israel never fought on the offensive. The Bible tells us that something, that God put something into the situation of the enemy that was approaching and caused these three groups to become in a disagreement with each other. And they got in a fight with each other and they slew each one another. I thought it was a pretty cool story. We don't go on the offensive. We resist. Resist. Whom, the Bible says in 1 Peter, whom resist? To withstand, steadfast in the faith. The word faith here, in our reliance upon Christ. We are relying upon Him. We are to be prepared for spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 clearly teaches that. But we are never to leave the work of God to fight the evil one. Many times Christians have been diverted and left the work. Matter of fact, we're going to see later that Sanballat tries to get him, come on down, come on down. He says, I can't leave the work and come talk with you. The second thing we need to do is remember. Remember. We resist and then we remember. Verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Look what he says. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Remember, he says, recall and bear in mind one thing ultimately, the Lord. The word remember, the word rememberest, the word remembereth, and the word remembrance is used 267 times in the Bible. I think we have a hard time with remembering what we need to remember. So God always is telling us, remember, remember, remember. Remember who you're fighting for. There's no better cause. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for your homeland. You're fighting for all of these things. And then he tells us in Psalm 105:5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. When he tells them to remember the Lord, that means we go back and we remember and we call to mind the other victories that God has brought. The other times when we were defeated and downcast, how he got us out of those things. He said, don't forget the Lord. Remember the Lord. And then lastly, we have to rally. A rally. Verse 18 and 19. He says here, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. In what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So the solution to discouragement is to resist the opposition, remember the Lord, and then rally. To defeat discouragement, Nehemiah gave his people a rallying point. Wherever you hear the trumpet, come there. That's a rallying point. The word rally here means to assemble together with a purpose. The Bible tells us that the New Testament church, the Regency Baptist Church, is not the building. We all understand that. It is you and I who make up the body of Christ. We meet here on the Lord's Day, and this is a ecclesia. This is an assembly. This is our rallying, if you would, point right here. We are spread out at school, at work, and doing everything else throughout the week, are we not? We're spread out all over the DFW area, wherever you work, wherever you're going to school, whatever you're doing, we're all spread out through the week with opposition and all these other things. And yet, one day a week, the trumpet, if you would, sounds, we come together as for an assembly, as a rallying point, a point of encouragement, exhortation, and to encourage advancement. It's a regular assembly with the Israelites there when they hear that trumpet, and here it is for us as the church. It's interesting that the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, and forsake not the assembling. If you look up that word assembling, it means rallying point. A rallying point. You and I need to rally together so that we can edify and comfort ourselves. Paul says this, and I'm done. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. After we defeat discouragement, the people, it tells us in verse 21, so we labored from the rising of the sun, from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. If you and I want to defeat discouragement and have spiritual renewal, we must resist the opposition. We must remember the Lord. And I believe we need to rally whenever the church doors are open, to gather together, to edify, to encourage, and to build each other up. Because lack of relaxation, frustration, and intimidation can have a way with us and bring about defeat, discouragement, and depression. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we humbly come before Thee this morning. We thank You, dear Father, for the Scriptures. We thank You, Lord, for You showing us the causes, the sources of what brings about discouragement, but also that You have shown us the solution. May we resist the devil, and he, You said, will flee from us. May we remember You, Lord, and may we be faithful to Your house and Your people. I just pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that's going through a time of discouragement, may You give them great victory. May they take some time to relax and to rest and follow the prescription that has been given by the Master. Add Your blessing now, dear Father, on this time as we close out this service and song. In Jesus' name, amen.